the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery. The Challenge of Transdisciplinary Science. A production of the 2012 Emerging Interfaces Awards. Episode 3, The Center for Complexity and Collective Computation.
I'm Brian Daniels. I'm a postdoc here in the new theme, the C4. We call ourselves the Center for Complexity and Collective Computation. So that consists of me and two other people at this point, but soon to grow larger. And those two other people are Jessica Flack and David Krakauer. What we do is we look at complex systems. So this is a very broad sort of subject, but basically we're interested in systems that have lots of interacting components such that you get some kind of emergent behavior out of this, very broadly speaking at least. So what I work on more specifically is really statistical inference in these systems. And if you're not quite sure what statistical inference is, it is this idea that you have some sort of incoming data, and you want to be able to make predictions about what's going to happen with the same sort of system in the future. So it seems straightforward, but it can get very hairy. So the opposite of inference then is deduction. So this is when you know what your model is, and you just want to deduce what it's going to do. So this is my background in physics. This is the sort of standard thing in physics. You write down a model, and then you figure out what it does. And then, of course, you test it against data. But our focus here is more starting with the data. We don't want to constrain ourselves very much, at least, with what sort of model we're going to use, but rather let the data sort of speak for itself. So start from the data and work backward toward the model. This is the idea of statistical inference. Let me give you an example. One of the projects we're working on is on conflict in macaques. So we have this great data set from Jessica Flack's lab. To take this data, they tracked the behavior of these macaques over many months. And so these macaques fight many times a day. It's a very common thing, comparable to just sort of day-to-day scuffles that people would have, say. These fights also, they determine the social structure, or they help determine the social structure. And so one of the interesting questions is, how do the macaques themselves view these conflicts? How can they make sense of these conflicts? How can they try to predict what sorts of conflicts are going to happen in the future? This gets into the field of statistical inference. So say you see a bunch of fights. So I see a fight involving my mom and my brother, and then I see a fight involving these other two individuals that I don't know, and I see a large number of these fights happening over a long period of time. How can I try to predict, just using this data on these fights, how can I try to predict what's going to happen in the future? Which fights are more likely to happen than others? Of course, this has to do with the sort of social network that all of this lives on and other factors that we might not even know, say what time of day it is and all these different factors, right? Food, coffee, yeah. So any of these could affect what fights are happening, but could we do this even just looking at the individuals? So this is an interesting question in itself for researchers to ask, could we try to find which groups of individuals are more likely to get into fights with each other? And so it turns out that you can, that there are these correlations that you can pick up on, and you can do better than just saying, say, individual A fights a lot, but individual B doesn't fight much. If you look at larger structures, you can get more predictive power. So this is an interesting question then also to ask whether the monkeys themselves can be making these types of inferences. So one of the things that I'm interested in, my background is not in macaques, but in statistical physics. Right, lots of equations on the wall. Coming from this background, we're thinking about things, say, in information theory that can tell us how much information is there that the macaques might be able to pick up on in this data? And also, how much would they have to remember in order to make use of these sorts of models that we would naturally use as researchers? And so there's a trade-off. If you can remember more about what has happened in the past, you can make better predictions about the future. And so quantifying that amount of information is an interesting problem. So we can ask, how many bits even do the macaques have to remember to make good predictions about the future? We've looked at that trade-off specifically. We can show that that happens. We can even try to estimate how many bits you might predict that a macaque would need to make good predictions about the future. One of the issues we think about, right, they're probably not doing statistics in their mind, at least explicitly. But the sorts of models that we use are meant to be something that you could imagine a macaque could remember. So for instance, we use a so-called sparse coding model, which breaks up individuals into groups. For instance, I remember not that the last fight involved individuals A, B, and C, but I remember that it involved A and B, who are related, and they always get in fights anyways, plus C. And so if you can remember things like just groups of individuals, which is something that seems natural for a macaque to remember, then that is equivalent in some sense to these statistical inferences that we're making. We'd love to be able to do more experiments with macaques. And of course, with any of these statistical inference methods, more data is just the thing that you want, basically. We've also been thinking about, so the WID has this cave environment where you can show interactions happening on a screen. And of course, it's all 3D, but that's not as important. So you could ask questions like, especially for humans, so you could put a human in there, have them watch macaques interacting or have them watch artificial actors interacting, and ask, what do they remember about these interactions that they can use to make predictions like this? Do they remember groups of individuals? Do they seem to remember more about? And so this is more of a question about cognitive science. What are these higher order structures that you should remember to most efficiently make predictions about the future? So it's interesting to think about conflict, but that's ultimately not really what we're interested in. We're more interested in how do these structures form out of lots of individual actors? So for instance, another project that we're working on involves not macaques, but neurons in the brain. So this data tracks monkeys that are making decisions about, say, which way dots are moving on a screen, but also at the same time is recording what neurons are firing in their brain. So the question here is, these individual neurons may each have some information about what decisions should be made, but how do they collectively form some decision about which way the dots are actually moving, say? Now, we don't have collections of macaques that are collectively forming some kind of conflict dynamics. We have collections of neurons that are collectively making some kind of decision. And so how do these structures form? What's the best way of understanding what they're doing and how they're doing it? The hope is to form models that can be used in lots of different areas. There are lots of these sorts of problems where you have lots of individual actors performing some local, say, computations. But the thing that you're interested in is the higher order effects, electrical grids. Any of these problems where network theory is used a lot are very similar. So electrical grids, traffic, all of these social network problems, things about the World Wide Web, Facebook, exactly. We are the secret theme in some sense. We just started up. David moved to head the WID, and we moved along with him from the Santa Fe Institute, where I was doing a postdoc with them before. And so we're still growing. We hope to have a few more postdocs soon, and we'll have many visitors during the summer. So yes, we're still starting up, and it's kind of nice having that feel of a startup, which the whole WID has that sort of feel. But I think we can definitely integrate with the rest of WID. There's, for instance, all of these problems involve optimization. There's a whole optimization theme. I've also been looking at some models in systems biology, where again, you have individual actors operating on some network, and these individual actors in this case are different biochemical species, that each of which affects each other, and some dynamics occur on this network to create cellular biology. How to fit these models, how to use the available data to honestly make predictions and to make models with the right level of complexity is an important issue. We love transdisciplinary sort of research. Coming from SFI, which was sort of the birthplace of a lot of these ideas on complexity. It was a very inspiring place to do a postdoc, very interesting place. But it's nice to see these ideas being implemented here as well.
This recording was produced by Chris Bocast for the 2012 Emerging Interfaces Awards, sponsored by the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery.